This podcast was created in association with Brescia University College, Canada's only women's university, preparing students to lead by engaging the world through wisdom, justice, and compassion.
Every day and every moment of our lives brings another step on the path that is the journey. Points of intersect in the piazzas of our lives. A chance to encounter others who will also impact her journey.
As we enter into this time together, let's look at the ways we are each piazzas, places of gathering that can make a difference around the globe.
We are open.
We are gracious.
We are hospitable.
We are engaged in the world.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It's a beautiful day here in London, Ontario, Canada. We hope you are enjoying yours wherever you are. We welcome you back to another episode of our monthly sharing of the Journey's Gift podcast. The Journey's Gift is a virtual space where we explore our place in the world, finding light along the way. We look forward to the time we spend with you in this monthly conversation.
Today, we welcome a guest host, Grace Estrada, whom you first met in our first episode of this season. Welcome, Grace. It is our responsibility to give thanks and respect to those who first occupied this land we are upon, and we acknowledge the kinship of all creation and peoples. The Journey's Gift podcast is recorded upon the traditional lands of the Anishinaabeg, Haudenosaunee, Lenapawik, and Attawandaran peoples.
These lands are connected with the London Township and Sombrat Treaties of 1796, and the Dish with One Spoon Covenant Wampum. This land continues to be home to diverse Indigenous peoples, First Nations, Métis, and Inuit, whom we recognize as contemporary stewards of the land and vital contributors of our society. We are thankful for the gifts of the people of the land. May we be of good mind to reconcile the mistreatment of this land and those who have been displaced.
We're excited for another opportunity to gather with you, our listeners, tuning in around the globe. We're sending love and gratitude to Brescia University College, a place we all call home. We're grateful to Campus Ministry and the International Department for their support of this monthly podcast.
We're grateful for many gifts, especially this monthly podcast that links us with all of you. I am Grace Estrada, a fourth-year international student in community development.
I'm Jean Bagede, a fourth-year student studying community development in a global context.
I'm Lissette Ochoa, International Program Coordinator and Special Advisor to the President on Diversity and Inclusion.
And I'm Catherine Ann George, Director of Campus Ministry. Together, we are the Journey's Gift.
We always open our program with a global shout-out, community issues, and sharing the gifts through gratitude. Last week, we celebrated International Student Week across campus. We are so grateful for these amazing students on campuses around the world. We give thanks to the diverse talents, experiences, and skills they bring to Brescia, their campuses, and the global community. We encourage our listeners to visit Brescia's Multicultural Club Instagram page and to help spread love for all international students.
This also ties into celebrations of our founders this week. St. Angela Merici, with a company of 28 women, founded the Ursulines and a new way of being for women in the world. She said to be like a piazza, open, hospitable, and engaged in the world. In what ways can we open ourselves to diversity and to experiencing international gifts internationally? Nearly 500 years later, the lessons Angela and her companions teach us about transformative servant leadership and genuine hospitality, valuing all people, continue to shape the women who lead out into the world and who are changing it in such incredible and positive ways.
To explore one of these ways, we're excited to welcome author, educator, Cecily Alexander, to the Journey's Gift to share her experiences of transition and change as lived through her immigration to Canada and through surviving hardships, which included racism, biases, and microaggressions, and to continue unwrapping a place of the gift with you, our listeners. As we move through this time, we want to instill a sense of the gift of every person, that we need to love and appreciate one another as we share our stories, people's stories, community stories, and how we find light on the journey.
But first, it's time for our global greeting.
As we unwrap another piece of our global gift, we highlight people around the world who are transitioning and moving into new countries and cultures. We continue to celebrate and think of all international students and the diverse gifts they bring to the world and our lives. We especially think of immigrants and the strength it takes to transition life to a new home for various reasons or opportunities.
Each episode will seek to highlight a different area or aspect of the world as part of our greeting. We hope you'll send us your thoughts and ideas as we get to know one another in this virtual space. Listeners can send us shout outs by emailing thejourneysgift@uwo.ca. As we spotlight current issues today, I'm thinking of the British Columbia communities and the devastating floods. Only just after coming out of a disastrous wildfire season, and I'm sending them the light of hope and healing.
Coming up from what Jean has just mentioned, I am thinking about the climate change summit that took place in Glasgow a couple of weeks ago, and the need for countries who produce the greatest emissions pollution to compensate or protect the populations who are being affected the most by this pollution, which are most specifically indigenous populations, developing countries, and small Pacific Islanders.
I'm personally currently thinking of the continuous racist climate we're living in here in North America, with the trials that have been occurring in the U.S., as well as the local burning of our shelter, and how we need to educate ourselves more and continue to stand in solidarity with communities. We should be outraged during this time.
That's exactly where I was headed to, Lisette. And there's so much change in climate, and climate can be seen in so many different ways. When we look at what's underpinning, so for our issues, that just this climate of our environment, people, how we treat one another, the burning of that clubhouse that was going to be a site for homing for some Indigenous peoples, but also in terms of homelessness, the anger that is in some people right now, I'm kind of tying into that. And then the other piece that I'm really thinking about with those wildfires and the flooding is that I recently learned that 100 years ago, they drained Sumac Lake so that they could farm and build roads and progress. So we think we're doing things that are change. But in doing that, that lake bed is now reflooding. So what are we doing that kind of, I guess those are the issues I'm thinking, is how do we think about things and what are we doing as we enter into this world and life?
Thank you, Catherine Ann, for sharing. I'd like to ask our guest, Cecily, do you have anything that you'd like to highlight today? Any issues that deserve some attention that we can think about as well?
Sure. I'm really fortunate to be given this opportunity. The main issue I would like to identify today is how microaggressions and micro-invalidations can occur in plain sight, and they are usually carried out in private on a personal.
We've talked about some of the issues, and Cecily, you have highlighted that so beautifully for such a painful thing. These issues that have been faced in our world, and yet we've always been given gifts, things that make a difference in our lives and the lives of those around us.
I am really thankful for the change in the amount of light with this season. Although it is difficult at the beginning, it doesn't take long for me to become aware of the positive aspects of this. For example, I get to realize that it is not as late as it seems, and I still have some time to finish my assignments. Also, there's more opportunity for indoor lighting, which contrasts beautifully with the darkness outside.
That's a beautiful thought. I'm grateful for the uphill climb, both figuratively and literally. Each day we climb up that hill, that Brescia Hill. But when you get to the top, to what I call the castle on the hill, and you look back, the view is absolutely beautiful. And it reminds me that that's a life lesson. The climb might be a bit challenging, but when you get to the top and you look back, you're thankful. So that's my gift.
Oh, that's great, Jean, because I usually struggle walking up that hill, but I love that. You're always looking at the positive outlook. That's amazing. I'm personally grateful for wonderful authors that continue to educate me personally, like through my readings that I've done. And I'm so grateful for Cecily. So I'm carrying her book. I know you listeners cannot see it right now, but I highly recommend this book. And her experience in Canada. So I am so, so grateful for her as an author, and I'm grateful for other authors that have been enlightening me. And it really is a journey through the reading, because you're learning so, so much. So today I give a shout out to all the wonderful authors I've been reading, most especially Cecily.
Thanks, Lisette. I'm grateful for the leaves that are teaching us how to let go. And I first heard that from a sister of St. Joseph, which was just such a cool image, reminding us that we can stop and pause in our families, work, and classrooms. And importantly, in this context, that we can let go of many things, including racism and the things that really stop us from the beauty and giftedness that is in all people.
Cecily, is there something you're grateful as a gift from the day or the week?
I am really grateful for family and their support. I couldn't have gotten this far without the love and support that my family has given me. In addition to my close friends, who I call my chosen family.
We are delighted to introduce Cecily Alexander, educator, author, and academic writer, and to share some of her perspectives and wisdom with you. Cecily moved to Canada over 50 years ago from Trinidad and Tobago. Cecily is here to share how we can make a difference for others as we explore her experiences immigrating to Canada and surviving hardships like racism and microaggressions in different stages of her life. She shares a look into her life in her book, Immigration, Race, and Survival, From Trinidad to Canada, Living in Parallel Worlds. Cecily, we welcome. We give you a heart warm welcome.
Yes, Cecily. We are excited to begin to unpack a little of your life's journey and know that it will inspire our listeners. Can you please share a little of what's important to you? What brought you to teaching and writing? And what is most important in your book? What do you want our listeners to know about your journey?
Thank you. I always wanted to write my memoir, and I'm really glad I waited this long. And the beginning of COVID provided the perfect opportunity. Writing was a bit cathartic. I was able to explore my life through the lens of race that was always present in my experiences in Canada. We know that race is a social contract, not biological. There's no cluster of genes that is common to all Blacks or all whites. Race is actually a human-invented classification systems. What are the markers? They're things like skin color, hair texture, eye, nose, and mouth shape and size, ancestry. Even your last name can define your race. As I said, it's a human-invented classification system that has been used as a tool for oppression for centuries. I have to say that my successes were due to the support of non-racialized allies that I had, who truly believed in me and took the time to understand my experiences. We need one another. Racialized individuals need allies for support. So as I said, my memoir has been my life's journey. It's written from a child of 4 years old to the present time. But as I said, it was written through the lenses of race. I describe being aware of the role race played in Canadian society in my first couple of months in Canada. I actually thought I was fairly qualified for a clerical job. I had my grade 13, equivalent of grade 13 certificate. I had a bookkeeping course, but I walked the streets and no one would hire me. I couldn't understand why, but I applied for a very simple job using a cash register at a Kodak counter. And the gentleman, Mr. Inslee, I still remember his name, sat down and he really liked me. He said, "Cecily, you're such a lovely person and I would really like to hire you, but I can't because you're colored and I would lose my customers and my business." That really put Canadian racism into view at a very early stage and a very young part of my experiences in Canada. And I actually came from a very educated family in Trinidad. Both my grandparents were professionals, believe it or not, in the 1800s. One of my grandfathers had, I have a picture of it in my book, the first electric pharmacy in Trinidad. So most Canadians, I realized, feed on, I had to really analyze this. What's different? You know, why don't they understand or know about Blacks from all parts of the world, but they feed on American stereotypes of Blacks? What are these stereotypes? They think that Blacks are dishonest, that we steal, we're aggressive, we're rude, and the biggest one is we can't be trusted. Mm-hmm. These stereotypes actually cause a lot of damage to the Black community. I know I am as many other Blacks in Canada. If we hear about some sort of shooting or incident, we kind of cringe and say, "I hope it wasn't someone Black," because everybody thinks it's you or your kids. That doesn't happen if you're white. You don't identify every bad incident or as being something that's affected, that relates to you or your children in particular. So, as I said, the stereotypes, I told you about the stereotypes, and this is why my role, I think of my role as an educator and author is so important. Mm-hmm. I'm building education and raising awareness, and that's what I really wanted my book to do. Because I think education is the key for us to unlearn and move forward. I love my profession. I love health and fitness. But most of all, I enjoy teaching and coaching and mentorship. I love that. When I taught at Brescia, I would always find one or two or three students to mentor. And they would come to the hospital where I worked and sit at a desk in my office and go through this really educational system where I would help them and mold them into what dietitians and our role was really about. So in my jobs where microaggressions occurred, I actually excelled at my job. I think I would have been fired a lot earlier if I made a mistake or I wasn't good at what I did. But what was I accused of? It was really Black stereotypes that I just mentioned to you. I was continuously thought of being dishonest or there was a lack of trust. So as I faced this, I decided that I would try to teach or educate others. Back to Brescia, my courses were in management. I taught principles of management to the undergraduate students. But what I really was excited about was when I was given the opportunity to teach selected topics in management. And I used some of my experiences or some of the research I did in my MBA, where I specialized in organizational behavior and theory. And one of the topics was selected and selected topics included diversity. And we completed, believe it or not, over 10 years ago, the exercise Unpacking the White Knapsack. And as many of you know now, that's a tool that illustrates white privilege. So even at this early stage, this was a really big interest to me.
No, it's okay. As I'm listening to this, Cecily, I'm hearing, like, I remember when you were at Brescia and that interaction with the students and how you were always somebody who stood out in terms of relationship with the students and just that caring way of Angela. Like, Founders Day is coming up and you lived it. As I'm hearing you speaking, I'm hearing that sense of companionship. And when you talk about the mentorship, this is what Angela was teaching people nearly 500 years ago, ways to be and ways that are still forms of leadership. That teaching and writing, I think Jean is going to actually ask us into a piece of that because it's such a profound piece of who you are.
Thank you. Cecily, you have a passion for teaching and writing. We know that part of your writing is to help others as they face their lives. In your book, you mentioned that most of your experience of racism and microaggression has been faced in the workplace. Can you share a little bit about that and why anti-racism awareness and education is so important in the world that we currently live in today?
Thank you. Yeah, my main microaggressions did occur in workplaces where I worked as a dietitian for most of my career. They were perpetrated by women. And in my memoir, I say, as a feminist, that made me really sad. My two main microaggressions were by two nurse managers. And you have to realize that managers have the power. These are power positions. And what they did was exclude, invalidate, and negate everything that I did. That's the actual definition of micro-invalidation. So I know deep discussions have to be had in workplaces, and we have to self-examine the stereotypes of BIPOC, Black Indigenous People of Culture. It has to start to be embraced from the top of organizations by HR for change to occur or to start. When I look back at my career in dietetics, as I said, I looked at everything through the lenses of race. I realize I've experienced microaggressions in some form at all of my jobs. I say repeatedly in my memoir, when I was experiencing these microaggressions, I knew what was happening to me was wrong, but I just didn't have the words to describe it. Mm-hmm. It was only until recently, believe it or not, in 2017, I was skiing in Utah and a guide who I was going up the trail with and having a bit of a discussion of one of my experiences in the workplace. And he was the one that said, "Cecily, those are microaggressions. This is a big part of the research of my wife, who's a psychologist." And I said, "What?" Even today, it's still on my phone. I said, "Spell it." And I typed in microaggressions into my phone. And when I returned to Canada, I researched microaggressions in the literature. And I say it was like a bright window of light opened up for me. And I finally understood what I was experiencing was a form of racial prejudice. You see, many people think of prejudice as verbal, as very overt, calling someone by the N-word or whatever slights that they want to say towards you. They don't realize how private and how covert microaggressions are and can be.
Oh, Cecily, as I'm hearing you speak, my heart is just so, that incredible gift and the thing that we don't expect in the time when you're just on at a ski lift with a guide, like in the place that you least expected, you were given this gift that completely changed the path of your life and really has led into this this important empowering book and a look at life. And so sometimes in hindsight, we discover challenge or loss or even, you know, some, it doesn't have to come in that way, through something as mundane as this normal task or this happening. We discover there was actually a gift, or that other gifts came through that. So we really want to ask you then, what is one of the biggest gifts you've received along the way beyond this important ride up a chairlift?
Right. I would say that I've been given the gift of allyship of various parts of my career and life. And I know some friends and even my brother, who was the instigator of my immigrating to Canada and not going to university in the Caribbean, said, "Oh, Cecily, should I have done that? Should I have brought you up?" And I said, "No, I had a really good life. You know, I've given the lens of race in terms of what I had experienced. But I have had some fantastic allies. And as women, we have to fight for women's rights and equality. And we need to continue to prove our worth as Black, Indigenous, people of color, as BIPOC people. But we need other women. We need white women to understand how difficult our journey is and realize that we are stronger together. Supporting each other is extremely important. And we have to stop competing with each other. As women, we are still trying to achieve equality with men. To women of color, you just add another layer to that. Our task is even greater. So we need our sisters on our side. So one of the greatest gifts I've received comes that has helped me through some of these challenges is allyship and sisters who understand.
Thank you, Cecily, for sharing your gifts, expertise, and insights, and for your time with us today. What I personally take from this podcast is this enhanced awareness about the harm that systems of beliefs like racism can have at the beginning of a person that is of color, Black, Indigenous. But most importantly, I'm grateful for your wisdom, Cecily, and to have you here in the podcast. And that you share this gift of discovering allyship and how it is important in our move towards a more level playing field for everybody. So thank you for being here. And that's what I take from this podcast.
Thank you, Cecily, as well. I also take away from this podcast you're teaching us about allyship and how it's really, we can't, life is not a vacuum. We're not here alone, and we've got to fight for each other's rights, especially women, and how it's so important to walk alongside those who are oppressed and marginalized. And I'd like to share an African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Oh, thank you. Wow. Lisette just put a heart up. On our Zoom. That's amazing.
What I take with me from this podcast is just echoing what Jean has said and Grace has said, but also the importance of having representation and mentorship, especially for students. Cecily, I know you continue to be a mentor in Russia students' lives, but I've connected you with a student recently as well. And I wanted to thank you for your passion and continuing to be a mentor. So that's, you know, I take away that important role today and how important that is from the podcast.
And for me, I am thinking, I really want to hold in my heart that image of the guide that came in the unexpected place, in the most unexpected way, and opens up a pathway or a door into a new way of being in life. And importantly, as I hear you and as we unpack these pieces of your story and know that there's so much more, that a guide led you into this. And as much as it breaks my heart, the things that you've had to endure in life, but you are a guide for others now in this way. So beyond mentorship, your sharing of your story is guiding us to new ways of being and pathways and to what we need to explore and how we can be transformative in others' lives. So I'm just extremely grateful for that gift.
Yeah, and one last thing I also remembered from your book. In your book, your friend and lawyer, Andrew, is it Kamen? I apologize.
Yes, Kamen. Yep.
Yep. Kamen mentions the admirable strength you carry to have survived racism, even as you continue to survive it now. And he said that reading your book has helped him a step further for recovery. And that just reminded me a little bit of what he shared in the intro of your book, that, you know, we all carry racist behaviors and we're all racist. And the education, like you said, Cecily, is key to raising awareness and learning. And we all have to recover from it. And it's a step-by-step process towards recovery. So that quote he shared in the intro of the book, it really just blew up the intro of your book as well into your story. So you've also inspired me, and I know our listeners today will be inspired by reading your book for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisette, Katharina, and Jean, and of course, Cecily. Do you have anything you want to share about what you take from our time together?
Yes, sure. I would really like to end by again thanking Lisette, Katharina, Grace, and Jean for this opportunity to help educate others to find their place in the world.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'd like to thank Cecily Alexander for giving us time this morning and sharing her gift. And I'd like to say that, Cecily, you're the epitome of resilience. That's what I take away. We remind our listeners that Cecily Alexander's book is available through Amazon and encourage you to continue this journey with her through her writing. We're so grateful that we've had this time with you, and we're excited to continue unwrapping the gift with all of you, our listeners. We look forward to meeting you along the way in our next episode of The Journey's Gift. Same place, same time, wherever you are and whenever you listen.
What are you seeing out there that needs to be done?
In what ways are you being called to make a difference in the world?
Whatever that is, may we respond with contemplation and action.
May all we do be done through the lens of wisdom, justice, and compassion. And remember, wherever you journey, wherever you go, build community. Be like a piazza.
Open, hospitable, engaged in the world.